the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Welcome to the program. Good to have you with us, and welcome back to the fold, Matt, who was our tech in D.C., and a great guy, and he had a honeymoon this weekend. Finally, I think a guy ought to be able to have a honeymoon, and he was able to have his, and it's cool, and he took his wife to a great many fun-filled spots. I will not, you know, bust his anonymity.
Yeah, what if they saw 9-inch nails?
What did I just tell you?
What did he just say?
What?
What did I just tell you? Don't say anything, because I don't want everybody to know where the guy's going.
Well, he already went there, though.
Yeah, I know he already went there, but... You know, a guy's got to have some privacy.
So, if he went to see a 9-inch nail, he's not there anymore. If they went to go see him, then he wouldn't be there.
I understand all of that. The fact is, I don't care. If I say don't do something, don't do it, okay? If I say don't tell anybody where he went part of the time for his honeymoon, I'm not going to tell you where he went the rest of the time, because you'll blather it.
I swear to God I won't.
I ain't telling you. Anyway, welcome back, Matt. Welcome, everybody, to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to be talking about the snafus in the healthcare system, Margaret.
Yes, we're going to have General Galen Shaw on from Washington. He's been monitoring the situation. General Shaw is a retired United States Army general. He's also rather conservative, I think, in terms of his political point of view. What are you looking at, Bud?
Is this where you're going to have the White Owl?
I'll smoke the cigar when I'm good and ready. Good God.
Okay, well, don't reference it. But what do you care, Bud?
Well...
And why are you noticing?
I don't like him staring at me.
Bud, don't look. If she'll... Why are you smoking a White... anyway.
I'm smoking the White Owl cigar because I feel like smoking a White Owl cigar, and I don't want him looking at it because I think he's... There are three or four missing.
What is it with you and White Owl cigars?
There are three or four missing... From the box.
Are you smoking her cigars? I can't believe... Are you smoking her cigars?
Yeah, we're talking about a lady smoking a cigar.
You think I... Oh, so you think that sounds freaky.
Never mind. So what's the story with the health care?
Boy, you guys, you know, you're really asking for it. It's early on...
What's the story with the health care?
I don't know. Apparently it's a cluster bang. I support health care, and I'm embarrassed at this rollout.
All right, so General Galen Shaw will be joining us here momentarily to talk about this. It has been, in the words of Margaret, a cluster bang. And, you know, I was a guy, I support it, and I still do. And I think that it's a good idea, and I will maintain that belief. But like everything else in this world, you know, there are problems, especially when it has to do with some kind of, when there's a technical aspect. You know, and there is a technical aspect to the rollout of this healthcare, that is the websites which enable people to go online and to check out, you know, what is best for them in terms of price to these healthcare exchanges. General Shaw, is that, at least that much must meet with your agreement, right?
Well, Phil, let me say that I think you ran a long way to try to justify what has clearly been, in the words of Margaret, a cluster... blank, and listening to people who support this ill-conceived law, I must tell you, is quite entertaining, listening to you stumbling about and trying to find it with both hands.
Well, I think that's unfair. Why is it...
No, let me finish. I think the health care law, which people who ragged on the Tea Party and said that we were nothing more than a bunch of imbeciles, I think was a word that you used, Phil. It hurt very much to hear that. I would rather be called, emotionally disturbed than,
You'd rather be called emotionally disturbed than an imbecile.
I think so. I think an imbecile...
An imbecile can't help the way he is.
Well, neither can a psychotic. I think I'd rather be psychotic than be considered... The village imbecile, hanging around a well and looking at women as they're getting their water for the day.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but...
I was talking about the village imbecile.
Well, the point that I'm making, Phil, is that, and I agree with Phil, what about the fact that there are going to be glitches any time you roll out technology?
Well, Margaret, I think it's very convenient... for those of you who support the Tea Party, the Obama boondoggle is what I call it, the Obama doggle. because I think that it's just that. It's a big Obama doggle that is only going to get worse.
General Galen Shaw joining us on the Newsmaker line from Washington on the health exchanges, and the rollout. Now, we heard the president addressing these problems. He admits there's problems. He admits that it has been less than smooth. He admits that he hasn't even tried to make mistakes. He says there's no excuse for it, and he wants it straightened out.
Yeah, but he couldn't wait a year. He couldn't wait a year. He had to have what he had to have. He had to have it his way.
No, he's not having it his way. He's having it the Congress's way. He's having it the way that the Congress of the United States voted it. He's having it the way the Constitution... He signed it into law.
Well, he signed it into law, and this thing got rammed right down the throats. And I can tell you, Phil, the American people had this rammed right up there. People will tell you it was rammed down their throat or it got shoved up. It got shoved up there, if you want to say it. It got shoved right up their butt. If you look at Michelle Bachmann, who's taken more abuse, I think, than any member of the Tea Party, and a woman who I think has served her country well, and she's been called every name in the book. Her husband's sexual orientation's been questioned. Can you well imagine this, that a woman has been so treated?
Come on, General, let's get it off of Michelle Bachmann and let's talk about the health care law, the implementation. We can argue all we want about Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, but she's emblematic of the opposition, and I left a message with her because I know I happen to know her and her husband, and I did leave a message, and I was kidding but I said to her, I'm proud of the things you've done for our country. And I understand if you're walking bow-legged. I've got a call coming in, Phil. Can you hold on?
We can through the break. Can you get your call to hold?
Oh, just put them on hold, and I'll get... Michelle Bachmann, I left a message with her, and I said, Michelle, God bless you and the service you've done for the country, but if you're walking a little bow-legged today...
I can hear you laughing, General, and I don't find it funny, and I oppose Michelle Bachmann.
I beg your pardon?
I can hear you laughing, and I don't find it funny.
What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing at anything, Miss Gray. I don't know what you're referring to.
Well, what do you mean she's walking bow-legged?
Because of the fact that, like everyone else in this country, she's had this health care law either shoved down her throat or rammed up, etc., etc.
Well, that is an insulting thing to say about a woman that you claim to admire.
All right, Margaret, let's just let the general express himself, you know.
Thank you, Phil. Yeah, let me express myself the way I want to do it. Okay, Margaret, I'm not taking my marching orders from you. I'll do it the way, and I happen to respect and admire what that woman has done for this country. And I say it again. If she's walking bow-legged today, there's a lot of us that are walking bow-legged because we had that law shoved hard and shoved it. Well, I can tell you this.
All right, let's forget about that. The health care law was... how about rammed down the throat?
I think it was more than rammed down the throat. That's what I'm trying to say. And no one wants to listen to me. I've been telling people all weekend in our neighborhood. I went down here to Founding Farmers to have a breakfast, and I said to a group of people, I said, we've had it shoved down and we've had it parked up there. At every way that we can... I've got to get this call, though, okay?
All right, you hold on there, and you go get your call.
Man, it don't sound like he's doing too good there.
Yeah, is he ill?
What do you mean, is he ill?
Well, what is with this, we've had it shoved and we've had it parked?
Well, but Michelle... Look, I don't like Michelle Bachmann. I never have, and I never will. I don't like the way she looks. I don't like the way she talks. I don't like the things she says. I think she gives me the creeps. As she gives a lot of people the creeps. But I draw the line at saying she's walking bow-legged because she had the health care law, you know, parked up the thing.
Parked up the what?
Parked up the... Would you please...
Bud, shut up, okay?
You almost said it.
No, I didn't say it.
We're going to be back with General Galen Shaw to get into some of the specifics here of why this law isn't working and get it off of whether Michelle Bachmann's walking bow-legged, okay? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. I want to remind you that we're online at philhenryshow.com, and, of course, you can get a backstage pass. The backstage pass enables you access to all of our archives, 5,000 hours of archives at philhenryshow.com, as well as all kinds of special webisodes and downloads. We did not have our Game of the Week yesterday because of a technical problem. We'll talk about that. We have Night of the Living Dead tonight following our broadcast. The Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. And welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show here from the El Pacifico every night until 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. With me is General Galen Shaw from Washington, D.C., Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard in studio with us. We will be talking a little sports tonight because we had a big football weekend, and we one of the big things that happened was, Bud, you guys were not able to...
Yeah, we're on account of the technical difficulty.
Yeah, man, you have to yell at me.
What are you talking about? You don't even know.
All right, well, we'll talk about that later. And General Shaw, so let's talk about the rollout of the healthcare exchange, the glitches. There are those of us that support this healthcare law, as I do, who say, well, look, you know, when you're trying something new, and this is the very first time in the history of this country that this sort of thing has been attempted, there's bound to be problems.
You know what, Phil? That's all well and good. I'm glad to know that there's bound to be problems. Unfortunately, you're trifling with the health care coverage of billions of Americans. And when you have these Americans going to the health care exchange, I'm looking at my video cast of your program, and I see you, and then I see someone behind you, and that is that the way it's supposed to be? I'm sorry.
You're looking at what?
He's looking at the video camera. What do you see, General?
Well, I'm looking at a screen, and there's two of you, three of you. It's...
Okay, you're looking at our... Get it off of the network, Bud, will you?
What are you talking about?
I said get it off the network and put it on a slide or something. It's blowing his mind, okay?
I'm not familiar with these video casts or the webcasts, Bill. Forgive me. But when I see there's one screen, two, it's going back in I guess you'd call it a psychedelic... fashion, and it's bothering me.
What am I supposed to do?
Give me this switch here. Forgive me, General. We'll put it over here onto our stills, and that should be better.
Yeah, it bothers me. I don't come from the orientation that you come from. I can't take the multi. I don't know what you call it. A multi-pictural.
Well, are there too many images for your mind to process?
My mind can't process this, and I don't understand how yours can, Phil, because of the drugs you've taken.
Excuse me, General, excuse me. Okay, I don't know. My mind cannot process multi-images because of the drugs I've taken. Excuse me, okay?
Well, what do you think those drugs have done for you?
Excuse me, I've never said that I've taken drugs. All right, so let's not talk about that.
Well, okay. Excuse the hell out of me, then. I'm on your program. One of the people that I admire walks bow-legged today, and I can't...
Forget about it. I don't care. You're the one that brought that up.
Why are you getting upset with the General? I disagree with him, and I'm not upset.
I'm upset with him.
Yeah, you're yelling at him.
Why, you know, Phil, there are a few things in this world that I've got. One of them is some people give me a little bit of respect because I've served this country... in two wars. If you don't want to, I understand that.
No, General, I give you all the respect in the world. I don't respect you, though, when you say, oh, can your mind process many different images and pictures because of the drugs you've taken? That's an insult. I'm not bringing up perhaps, you know, just keep it off of me and don't get personal if you don't mind.
Well, why was I forced to look at a multidimensional image?
I didn't force you to look at anything.
Well, it was multidimensional.
What was multidimensional?
Why don't you calm down?
Devison, you gotta calm down.
Can I put you on hold, General, for a minute?
Oh, so now you're gonna put me in the corner. This is what they do at Easter and on Thanksgiving. They put me in a chair.
Can I ask you guys to just knock it off, okay?
Phil, we are commenting on what's going on. I talked to David about this over the weekend, and he said whatever is on the air, you can comment on.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Well...
Yeah, if you let him go in a direction that you didn't want it to be.
What?
If you let him talk about a multidimensionalism...
You let him talk about multidimensional things.
I let him talk about multidimensional. He brought up the fact that he was watching Phil TV. If you would have gotten it off of the network, because what happened, folks, is, well, you saw, because you're watching, a lot of you guys. Never mind. Put him back. Okay, you're right. I'm sorry.
Well, don't be a baby. You're right. I'm sorry. Don't be a baby about it, Phil.
Yeah, Mr. Allen, you can't be grown up about it.
I'm grown up about it. God.
Yeah, the guy on the air is acting like a little bit. Are you all right, Phil?
Who are you talking to?
Well, you're telling me not to get personal. Maybe that's none of your business.
Is it your wife? Okay, never mind.
It's none of your business who I'm talking to. It may be my wife. It may be a number of people. It might be a boy. It might be a boy. But it's not a boy. It's my wife. But if it was a boy, wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah. It sure would.
Well, I don't appreciate the laughter, but...
Well, you know what, General? You brought it up. Let's get back to the health care issue before I completely flip my lid again here in the first half hour of the program.
Phil, I'm trying to be as clear as I can. I'm simply saying to you that this law that demands of the American people buy insurance tells people to go online and visit these health care exchanges, and the exchanges don't work. The people are on hold forever. They're not getting the coverage they want. And by the way, we're hearing stories of rates increasing unbelievably.
Okay, now let's get to these questions and these comments. And I want to comment on this about the rates increasing. You know, if there's one thing we should have learned by now, all of us, no matter who we are, is that in the first 48 hours, in the first 72 hours, in the first few hours or days of any developing story, we get all kinds of wild stories. We get a lot of misinterpretations. We get a lot of did you hear and did you know, and you know what happened to this one lady? And about 90% of it turns out to be horse dung. Now, I'm here to tell you, I've got insurance. I have my own insurance. I have it through my union, but I have my insurance. Some people have their insurance through this guy. Some people have their insurance through that guy. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my insurance didn't rocket up by 100%. My insurance, in fact, has not gone up at all. Now, you can say what you want about the health care law, but I think one thing that it is showing us, it's showing you who the health care providers are that are going to take advantage of this law and are going to begin to extort, if you will, more money out of people.
Oh, wait, well, hold on for just a minute there, Phil. That isn't fair.
No, hold on. No, you hold on, okay? I was listening to you. You're talking about Michelle Bachmann getting something parked up her you-know-what and walking bow-legged.
I said that out of respect. That had nothing to do with health care. I simply wanted to make a personal comment about a woman I admire.
Yes, but I think that goes against your time.
Oh, will you give me a... What is this, all of a sudden, the floor of the United States, a Senate of the Congress of the Senate?
The Congress of the Senate?
Well, what is... Are you limiting me to time?
No, we're not, but I'm... Margaret's right. You know, you gave a little speech about Michelle Bachmann having something parked. So now, what I'd like to say is the following. I'm saying that I really want to see whether or not some of these stories about health care rates going up 100% are true. If it is across the entire platform of insurance providers, for those of us that already have insurance, which I think it is not, which I think it's absolutely overblown and, quite frankly, borders on mendacious, which is meaning an intentional lie.
Well, is that sentence going to end? God.
Yeah, Phil, that went on and on and on and on and on.
That sentence...
Yeah, God, what's mendacious?
You know, if I can't say...
Well, look, if you're going to cry, go ahead.
No, I'm not mendacious. You guys, it means lying. Okay?
Phil, I mean, we're just trying to get you to communicate to people that eat with both hands and...
I'm talking... The people understand what I'm saying.
You're pretty certain of that.
Yes, I am. I think what they're listening to right now are you guys sounding like you're losing your freaking marbles. So the fact is, we're going to wait. And if anybody wants to turn on their TV and watch these stories about, oh, my insurance went up, and oh, and if it happened to you, I'm going to tell you this right now. You're with the wrong insurance company, okay?
Oh, so you're telling people now that they should get rid of their insurance company. Why?
If they're jacking the rates on them, you better believe it. Don't talk to me. Okay, hold on, General. I have to take a break. Don't talk to me, man, about the cost of insurance going up and then and blaming it on Obama. Take a look at your insurance company and how they're taking advantage of this situation, and tell them, thank you very much. It's been really great having coverage with you. Really, seriously, you guys are just fantastic. Kiss my bright red Rosie on Main Street. I'm out of here. I am not taking your stinking insurance no more, okay?
Yay!
Thank you.
Well, do you really think people are going to take your advice on that?
I think if they're smart, they would. I think if people are going to see where the actual problem is, yeah, you know. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Don't give me this bull crap. We'll be right back. You see somebody naked. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and our number 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. General Galen Shaw is with us. We're talking about the healthcare law, the healthcare exchanges. And, excuse me, I'm just cutting the fan off here. I have a little manual fan that I use here. General Shaw is telling us his opinion of how things have been going. We know that they have been rocky. We know that the rollout has been rocky. We want to take some calls, too. Margaret?
Well, General Shaw, I've been taking your side on some of these issues, at least in terms of your appraisal of what has happened to Michelle Bachmann and other members of the Tea Party. I agree the Tea Party has been taking a big hit. I don't agree that it has been unfair. I think it has been entirely fair. Your comment.
Well, again, my comment. I don't want to give Mr. Henry occasion to giggle again, or his little group of friends there that like to giggle, but and think that a big fun time for everyone. You're a woman, and I think that to give you the respect you deserve. If you were head of a political movement and you had a law that was essentially taken, and you were asked to insert, I'm trying to be a gentleman about this, but you were asked to insert it up your areas, either one of them.
Okay. I mean, are you really think you're being a gentleman now?
Yes, I don't think that's necessary.
Well, okay, then obviously you don't have sympathy for Michelle Bachmann, who has walked bow-legged in a figurative sense.
And every time you say that Michelle Bachmann's walking bow-legged, you're insulting her.
No, I am not, Mr. You know, I think, I really think you like, to, you want her to be insulted, and so you say that I'm insulting her. I'm not insulting her. The people that shoved that health care law down my throat and up her, reproductive area. And
oh, my God.
Dad, you didn't really say that, did you?
Well, what I just heard that man that you hire, who sounds like he's straight out of one of those homes where they use canes and play, blurt out something in that Gloid speak of his.
Hold on.
What are you laughing at, sir?
I really, General Shaw, should just have you stick to the subject at hand. You know?
Well, no. The young man, you people are laughing at me.
Yeah, we're laughing at you because you are using terms and words that are unnecessary. I think we're all done with talking about Michelle Bachmann walking bow-legged. Whether or not she had that law shoved down her throat or up something is immaterial. What's material to this discussion is the very, very difficult rollout of the implementation of this law and what it means. I believe that I have said what it means. I believe, I think it is nothing more than technological problems that are going to happen when you're seeking to apply, a new way of providing or delivering service to people, the internet, at such a large number of people. We know that people want the product. There's 20 million people that have tried to get onto the site. So it's not as if there isn't a demand for health insurance. People want to be insured. People want to be insured. It's not like Mr. and Mrs. America, who are against this law, they can't sit there and say, and I got to pay for these freeloaders when they go to the hospital and they don't have any insurance. And this is on, the people want to be insured, okay? They want insurance. It's not affordable. And so this law is is providing or enabling them to get insurance. Now, what is your interpretation of this?
My interpretation, Phil, but first of all, I cannot go further with my comments without commenting on yours. And I think your comments that you just made are about as fouled up. It's a big foul up. The things you said and the way you're looking at this. People want to be insured, but everybody wants something for free. You give something away, and by God, you'll have a big flood of people looking for it.
Okay, so it's affordable then.
I didn't say affordable. I said it's not so much that it's affordable as that you're getting a product that's cheap, but what kind of a product is it? You see what I'm saying? Now, to the point of...
No, I don't, and...
Well, Phil, he made his point. Just let it sit there, okay?
So in other words, I made my point, and it's going to sit there like what? Like something that smells? Like something that...
Maybe something that needs to be mopped up. You know, if you make a point and it's not exactly... I don't think it was a well-made point.
Okay, what was wrong with it?
Well, they're going and they're finding affordable insurance, and you automatically are assuming because the insurance is affordable, it must be bad insurance.
I think that if you get what you pay for, and because I said you get what you pay for, it doesn't mean that therefore the comment that I make is sitting on the floor and fouling the air. I think the comment I made is one that has a great merit, and I think we know this from our experience as consumers. But to say that I point out something that is real to all consumers is nothing more than something that will lay on the kitchen floor until you mop it up. And, excuse me, meanwhile there's a dog somewhere giggling to himself. I think it's very unfair. Now, to the point that the health care law is causing insurance premiums to go up.
Okay, now I wanted to comment on that.
You already commented on it.
Yeah, you already did. You get the general.
Thank you very much, Bud. Thank you.
All right, I'm sorry.
And I say thank you to Bud. A moment ago I said that he talked like someone who should be out on the street selling flowers or riding a bicycle and delivering messages at the age of... Was that the phone call?
You get a lot of calls, don't you, when...
I get a lot of calls, don't you, when what?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Well, I want to know what you were going to say.
Oh, General, forget it. Would you please? Just, what are you going to say?
Oh, all right. Well, I was going to say the insurance premiums are going up for regular consumers who already have insurance to the tune of 100%. This is absolutely inexcusable, and Barack Obama must, and I repeat, he must, address this.
Okay, so Barack Obama is the guy that walks into these insurance company offices and says, you better jack up the rates. I believe there's another...
No, it's not Barack Obama. It's the market and the supply and demand and so forth.
Hold on. I believe that there is a reaction to this law by some, not all, but some of these companies... That is what I think is what they consider to be prudent business, that they're going to have to increase their rates to cover what they anticipate to be, more demand for a less pricey option or less pricey instruments that they may make available. And I think that once all of this shakes out, they'll see that wasn't necessary. Now, I also believe that this is not across the board. Not every company that provides health insurance is doing this. I hear these stories. Some ladies on TV talking about Anthem Insurance. Oh, and it went up 100%. I'm here to tell you that I have my insurance through Blue Shield of California and my pharmaceutical as well as my dental, and my insurance has not gone up. Okay, so...
Well, Phil, I guess we have to take your word for it.
What about your insurance?
What about my insurance?
Well, has it gone up?
I have Medicare, and before you tell me that that's government health insurance, I am here to tell you, no, it isn't. It is my insurance that the government has made possible, is made affordable, but it's my insurance.
Now, you just let the cat out of the bag. You have government insurance.
No, I don't have Obamacare, do I?
Well, what's the difference?
The difference, Mr. Henry, see, this is what you people do all the time.
You can't just say you people.
I didn't say you N-words, did I? I didn't say you...
Well,
Well, Miss Anna, hold on, General. You know, that's not fair. You say you people, I don't automatically think that's racial, but then you said you N-word.
I know I did not, Robert. I said I did not say. Now, all you I didn't do that, did I? Did I?
No, you didn't. Okay, so let's move on, please.
Fine.
Oh, well, now you get to move on because I win a point. Anyway, the insurance that I have is Medicare, and if you call that Obamacare, I'm going to hang the phone up. That's as simple as that gets. I will not countenance anyone telling me that I've got Obamacare.
I'm not saying that you do, General. No, that is not Obamacare. President Obama, that's not part of his plan. That's not part of his legislation. That wasn't his idea. Medicare is Medicare, okay? But the fact is, it's government health care, is it not? Or it's, when I say government health care, you know, what I mean is, it is health care.
No, it is private health care, Mr. Hendry.
I understand, but it's health care that is regulated in terms of price and in terms of the service by the government for those people who qualify, generally those who are elderly. Hold on, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here on philhendryshow.com, and we're talking here with General Galen Shaw about Obamacare and the rough rollout of Obamacare. Our number 855-500-7445. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and we're here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. We invite you to join us online at philhendryshow.com for a backstage pass. Also, be looking, if you're a podcast fan, be looking for the Bobby Dooley podcast, which will be debuting tomorrow on the Sideshow Network. Also, our, of course, free classic podcast. We have one a week, and that will be there as well. So the Bobby Dooley podcast, which is going to be daily. We'll have Bobby on to talk about that, and that starts tomorrow. Later on tonight, after the broadcast on Phil TV, we'll have Night of the Living Dead. And
that's kind of a way to make up on a cat. You butchered it up.
I didn't butcher anything up, man, okay?
Well, there wasn't a game last night.
That wasn't me, man. There wasn't any game yesterday because we had an internet question that was... That's not my fault. That was not my fault. We had an equipment malfunction. Anyway, as a way of making up the fact we did not have our game yesterday with Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman, we will have Night of the Living Dead. So that makes up for no football, a horror film featuring zombies eating people. I think that's an equal trade.
You know, this zombie thing is really getting to be old. I can live with it for a few weeks, maybe a few, you know, months, but the obsession that people have with this ridiculous fantasy of zombies walking around, I don't know what it says, and I think that might be something we could get into with General Shaw. General Shaw, since you've pretty much lost this healthcare debate...
Beg your pardon?
Well, you've pretty much lost this healthcare discussion we're having. Phil and I wanted to know if you wanted to talk about this phenomenon of zombies.
Is this some kind of a joke? I'd like to speak with Mr. Hendry.
Well, no, that was Margaret. That was her idea, okay?
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
What do you mean, that was Margaret, her idea? I think you've lost this debate on health care.
I haven't lost anything, Margaret. If you want to declare victory and depart the field, I suppose that is your prerogative.
But what do you mean, declare? What did he say?
I said declare victory and depart the field, which is a Shakespearean line that it means that one declares that they have won and they depart the field. Hence, there is no one there to debate that you did not declare victory. Do you understand what I mean?
No, he doesn't understand, General. It's Bud Dickman, and that's all I need to say.
Well, I think young Mr. Dickman has found I've got more common ground with him tonight than anyone else.
Maybe that's because he needs medical care. But maybe that's what I said.
Well, that's... I would expect that from a... Well...
Oh, my God. General, you weren't about to say the N-word, were you?
No, I was not. No, I was not.
General Shaw, we all heard you say that's because he's a...
Yeah, I heard that too, General Shaw. I'm going to tell you now, you better apologize for that, or I will demand that Mr. Emery not have you back on the show.
All right, I'm sorry. I wasn't going to say that, but if it means that, you know, if you're that upset about it...
Well, what were you going to say?
When I said what?
You said I would expect that from a...
I was going to say I would expect that from a nihilist though it doesn't seem to have a belief system.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah, sure.
Are you kidding me? You don't know what nihilist means.
I know what it means.
What's it mean?
Wait, hold on. Hello?
Sorry, I dropped something and I had to pick it up. And then I turned around and sure enough, we've got this new gardener who came in the house for a glass of water. And when I dropped something to pick it up, I turned around and he was leering at my... So, honey, could you get him out? I just got my wife to tell him to go outside and...
He was leering at what?
Hold on, Phil. Tell him to, yeah. If you drop something and you bend over to get it and you turn around and a guy's leering at you, what do you think?
You know, General...
Oh, you know, I don't need this. I don't need this. In the words of Arianna Huffington, I don't need this.
Yeah, uh-huh. How do you like that?
Well, he is quoting her.
What do you mean about Arianna Huffington?
Arianna Huffington was on this show once a long time ago, back when we actually tried to do real interviews, and it was a disaster. And then she, her last words to me were, I don't need this, and hung up. And that's what I just heard General Shaw do.
I don't know if he hung up. Did he hang up, bud?
No, he's still there, but he just wanted to do that.
What's going on? General Shaw, okay, last words, and then we got to go.
All right, last words. Well, forget it, then, if that's what it's... Never mind.
I don't think I treat anybody all that bad on this show, and the fact that they're hanging up.
Well, the whole conversation got ridiculous, and I think that...
Look, you know, this guy, General Shaw, who sounds to me like he's beginning to lose his mind, and I say that with great respect, and maybe he wants to look up a little health care to see where they put people, you know...
Boy, that's very cruel, you know, he'd call back on that. I bet you would.
Yeah, I mean, let me see if he wants to call back.
What are you doing?
I'm calling him up.
Why are you calling him up?
To see if he wanted to call back.
Are you kidding me? To see if he wants to call back.
You know.
But if he's going to call back, he's going to call back. You don't need to call him up to ask him if he's going to call back.
Oh, General Shaw, it's too late now. General Shaw, are you going to call back?
You are?
All right, I'll hang up.
Okay.
So that's a good thing you called him to let him know that, you know, you wanted to know that... Oh, is that him?
Yeah, he called back.
I called back because young Mr. Dickman wanted me to, but the fact is, Phil, I don't think that there's any real excuse for you to be talking to me that way.
Well, then why are you bringing up the fact that a gardener was leering at you before he...
Thank you very much, Phil. You know, I feel sorry for you. I really do.
He feels sorry for me. He feels sorry for me.
Well...
No, not no well, nothing. As I said, he's losing his grip on reality. He bends over to pick something up and a gardener is leering at him.
Yeah, but ain't you never been... Well, I guess you've never been in prison.
And neither have you.
Well, I'm talking about dropping the soap.
Well, that's just great if he drops the soap in the... you know, what is it that we all of a sudden have got this guy who's dropping stuff and he's thinking about prison, dropping the soap, and there's a gardener...
Why are you laughing?
Because it's so freaking funny and so stupidly absurd that it makes me laugh. All right, we have a couple of things I want to do tonight. We do want to talk with Steve Bozell tonight, as well as you, Bud, about the game that was canceled. We also want to get into a little discussion here of Peyton Manning's return to Indianapolis. The Broncos got their asses handed to them. Wow.
Woo!
Just to conclude this discussion, though, that we were having here,
yeah, here's the article.
Thank you, bud. This is the,
this page 3.
Okay. Get out of my nose, will you, man?
You know, I was putting it up his nose, man. You gotta see what he's doing.
I can see what I'm doing. You don't have to jam it in my face. In a White House press conference, Mr. Obama said that despite its problems, the website was delivering affordable coverage. Those attempting to sign up for health insurance have reported persistent issues since the October 1st rollout. This is true. Obama said a tech surge was underway to fix the snags. He said there's no excuse for the glitches that have plagued the rollout. You know, I'm glad he said that. And let me tell you something. This is an example, really, in so many different ways of how service is being delivered these days in America. I mean, this isn't... I'm not gonna get sidetracked. I mean, the healthcare question is very important, and getting people covered is very important, and making sure that they are getting the service they need is very important. And God forbid people are putting credit cards into this system, and it's eating the information or otherwise not protecting it. Is it a secured system? Will it better? You know, all of these things.
Well, now, Phil, all you've done is give people the naysayers ideas. So come tomorrow, that'll be the new complaint.
No, Margaret, I am not willing. I do not believe that people are making this stuff up. I absolutely believe they're having problems. There's no question. Because I know how life works. I know how technology works. And I know that when there are new, when something new is offered, one thing you can always guarantee, someone's going to complain about it, more than one person. People are going to say it's a disaster. People are going to say it doesn't work. People are going to say it's a piece of crap. And that will have absolutely nothing to do with the actual workability of the idea. It'll either sink or swim on its own merits. But the initial reviews of anything are generally panicky, overblown, they're constantly underrating things, etc. The website's issues have been overshadowed by the recent partial government shutdown in which Republican lawmakers attempted to gut the law through budgetary brinkmanship. There's no question now the Republicans are saying, see, all we wanted to do was delay it for a year to work out the kinks. Sure. Right. So you guys were in favor of it all along. You just didn't want to have the kinks. You didn't want to have the kinks or the Dave Clark 5.
That is so... the cultural touchstones and references, Phil, really blow... they blow someone you might know.
Yeah, thank you. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And don't forget our number, 855-500-7445. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m., when I say 4 a.m., can't tell time, on the East Coast, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up, we've got Steve Bozell to talk about this weekend's lack of football, but we'll also get into some of the couple of interesting games this weekend that we do want to talk about, and why we did not have our game of the week. That's very important. And some other items on the agenda. We do want to remind you, we have the Bobby Dooley podcast, the daily Bobby Dooley podcast that starts tomorrow. So we'll have Bobby on to give us a little preview of that, and so many other things that I can't quite can't count the marvelousness of what is occurring. We're on the air we're not on the air for the first time. We're back on the air in Columbia, South Carolina. Happy to be there, WQXL in Columbia. And we have been off the air there for so long, it's just great to be back with our friends there in South Carolina. So, and we'll be rolling out more stations, more marvelous contact with you guys as these days, weeks, months, and years progress, as we, resurge and begin our inexorable march toward world domination. Okay, all right.
So that's out of the way.
That's out of the way. Now what, bud?
We got a guy named Pete, and he wanted to say a couple things on there.
Okay, Pete is in Sussex, Oklahoma. Pete, good to talk to you. What's up?
Well, Phil, first of all, I want to say I'm very proud to be on your program. I enjoy listening to you, and here in Sussex, Oklahoma, and we haven't quite had anything like you on the air here, but I'm really happy to be on the air with you here, and thank you for being in our neck of the woods here.
You're welcome. Happy to be there.
Now, my other question is, or my other comment, rather, is that I think President Obama's doing the right thing. I've been a advocate of his for a long time. I voted for the president. I live in a very conservative area. This is a Republican area, and Oklahoma is pretty conservative anyway. But I support President Obama, and I will tell you that it's a very difficult thing to do when you live in an area that is so anti-Obama as this one is. We've got a lot of Tea Party people here and so forth, you know.
Well, I know how it can be, and sometimes you feel all alone, huh?
Sometimes you feel like you're the only one, that's for sure. We had an encounter, though, and I wanted to tell you what we're up against, those of us that support the president, because we had an encounter here at a restaurant in Sussex called Tonio's. It's an Italian restaurant. It's a place that many of us frequent and enjoy, and I've been going.
Were you born and raised there?
I'm from originally Tulsa, Oklahoma, and moved here when we relocated our business here. But I had been listening to this group of people who are in the restaurant talking about Obama this and Obama that, and how they didn't like this and they didn't like that about him. And I said to them, I said, I'm sick and tired of hearing this. You know, he's the president, and he passed a law, and just like you folks have been saying, you know, there comes a time when you just better, I guess, you know, suck it up.
Yeah, there comes a time to say, okay, it's the law, so, you know, as Republicans themselves, the cooler heads have been saying, let's concentrate on the debt ceiling, let's concentrate on the elections, let's get more of our people elected. That's what you got to do, you know.
Yeah, well, that's how I figure it. If you want to have things change, then you've got to get the votes.
Exactly, you've got to have the votes.
Right. So, and that's what I said to these people, and
now who are these people? Who are you talking about?
These are just other business people and residents of the community here that I've known all of my life, and I know these guys. They're all business people, and a couple of ladies who have one of them owns the hair salon here. And
so they're all small merchants?
Excuse me?
They're all like small merchants in the town?
Yeah, they're all small business people, and we meet at this restaurant. Now, about 2 weeks ago, I was listening to them as they were talking about Obama, and I really got upset because I had said for about 3 days before that, I said, you know, when are you going to stop? When are you going to just accept what's going on and help our country move forward instead of talking about socialism, communism, this nonsense? And I said, you've got to stop it. And I told him that I was getting angry, and I had ordered a bowl of meatballs and a bowl of spaghetti, I guess. I say I guess because, you know, you mix it together. And but the point of my story is I had this bowl of meatballs and sauce, and I picked it up. And I feel bad about what I did.
Now, our Bud.
He told me the story off the air. It's pretty interesting of the things that happened.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, were you checking out my story with the man that answered the phone?
I wanted to know if Bud had heard this, if it had been screened. I hope there's nothing, you know, obscene.
No, sir. No, not at all. I picked up, but I was angry, and I picked up this bowl of meatballs that I had ordered separate. I guess you call it, I don't know, it's al dente or...
Well, it would be al dente if it is. I don't know if it's al dente if it's vegetables, unless it's vegetables or something, or the vegetables are blanched. They're not fully steamed.
Okay, yeah, that's al dente. Well, blanched, I know what blanched is.
Okay, that's fine. Can we just?
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. I was thinking about. I had ordered al dente a couple of times in that restaurant before, and they generally had charged me less, I guess. But in any event, I took this bowl of meatballs, and I said to Jim Lavelle, who is a good friend of mine but a very conservative man, and I said, I told you, Jim, I don't want to keep hearing this. I picked up this bowl of meatballs and I threw it into the kitchen.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Did it hit anyone?
Well, what happened was I threw the meatballs through the entry where you placed the orders. And it did hit a good man by the name of Gary Hinchelow, who was a chef there. And I felt so bad, I went back, I said, I'm sorry, I threw this plate, and it hit Jerry, or Gary rather, and he was sitting there. And I said, are you all right? He said, I'm fine. And I recognized him because I had been at a veteran's benefit, and Gary is a Gulf War veteran. And he's disabled. And I said, I recognize you from the veterans benefit that I was at here not too long ago. I said, yes, sir, that's me. And Gary is a helicopter pilot in the Army in the Gulf War.
Okay.
And so I said, look, you know, let's talk. And it turns out that Gary is illiterate. Not illiterate, I shouldn't say that, but he has a difficult time reading what you call dyslexia.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm working with him on that. So I wanted to say basically that as much as I hated the Tea Party and the fact that they don't give Obama credit, they made me so angry I threw a bowl of meatballs at a man and got to know him. And I think that in life, you know, we have to recognize that we make enemies as well as friends in the most unlikely of places. And that's my lesson, I think, that I've learned. You know, I wanted to share that. I think that...
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. I mean, so when he got hit with this plate, was he angry?
Oh, he was very angry. He called me every name in the book multiple times. An MF and an F, and he wanted to do some damage, but I got to talking to him, and now we're going to... Yeah, I'm going to help him with his dyslexia, help him with his reading, and take him out bowling and places, you know, just drive him around, take him to parks. Excuse me. And
well, is he so disabled that he can't...
He's fine. In fact, he's married.
Well, what are you going to take him to parks for?
I'm sorry, ma'am?
Why are you taking him to parks?
Well, I just feel that it's something nice to do for a veteran. Take him to a park and let him, I don't know, you get a bag of nuts and you can feed, you know, they have that squirrels and this kind of thing.
All right. Well, listen, that's very nice, sir. It's Steve?
No, my name is Richard.
I'm sorry, sir. Richard, thank you very much for your call.
All right. Well, y'all have a good night.
You have a good night too, sir.
I don't understand, bud.
What?
Well, what is that about, man?
What?
The guy's a disabled veteran. Although he's married and has kids, he goes and takes him to a park where he can feed squirrels.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
What do you mean, that's what you're supposed to do?
With a disabled veteran?
Well, just because a guy's disabled doesn't mean you take him to a park and give him a bag of nuts to feed to squirrels. Maybe the guy, he's got a wife and kids. I'm sure his time is taken up with them. He's got a job. What exactly is this guy doing for him?
I thought it was a nice thing that a guy was going to do and everything like that.
What nice thing? I don't understand. Okay, fine, not a problem. Let's take a break. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Wow. Let's get Steve Bozell ready, bud, and let's talk football, okay?
I don't know what I done.
I don't know what you done either. 855-500-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. What?
Well, I just don't know whether you have put on some weight.
Yeah, Mr. Hendry.
Okay, so I've put on some weight. I know I've put on some weight. I haven't put on all the weight, you know.
Well, I noticed that your face is fatter. There's the fat.
Yeah, a lot of the fat. No.
My face is fatter, huh?
Well, there's...
But I'll do it. Not you. I'll do it. When you'd lost all the weight, I noticed that you had... The jowls were gone, and there was this stretched neck look. But now you,
Uh-huh.
Oh, Phil, grow up.
No, well, just talk about how your face looks fat.
Thank you. My face looks fat. I don't think it's that fat.
No, it isn't that fat. But I just noticed that it has fattened out.
A lot of times, you got to understand, Mr. Henry, when a person, the face will fatten up pretty good. See, my dad, well, he lost his weight, his face stayed fat.
What do you mean his face stayed fat?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
What do you mean his face stayed fat?
Face stayed fat. He lost a lot of weight, but the face was still fatter than anything.
Yeah, that will happen, depending upon the diet. So that the head, the face is this large, fat face. But the rest of you is good-looking, it's svelte, you're ripped, as you guys like to say.
But you've got a fat face.
Yeah, more like the head and the face, everything's too fat.
And there is you have a problem there because there is a bit of the perspective, you know.
No, I don't know.
Phil, you know something? You sit there and you, I don't know, really? What? Really? You ask these questions.
I don't know what you're talking about. A guy loses all this weight, but he's got a fat face.
Yeah, the face stays fat.
It happens in 1 out of 10 men.
that a guy loses all his weight, he's ripped, he's got a great body, he's got pecs, he's got a six-pack, but he's got a fat face.
Yes, and it's too big for the neck.
Yeah. So they have to, they got to suck fat out of your head, or not out of the head, but
they'll do a lot, you know, liposuction off the face.
Get out of here, liposuction off the face. You telling me I got to have that done?
I don't know. I would, if I were you, I would simply watch it.
I got news for you. No, I don't. Okay? No, I don't. I can tell. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I put on, I was down to 210 pounds last Halloween. Now, my fat, excuse me, for by fat, the you know, as fat as I got, I was at 306 pounds a few summers ago, but I was at 290 when I began the diet a year and a half ago. I got all the way down to 210. Now I'm back up to, you know, God forgive me, up to 235, okay?
Yeah,
you're more than that.
What do you mean I'm more than that?
You gotta be, because the fatness.
Yeah, the fatness of your face.
You know something? You guys are something else. Wow, you can tell a guy's weight by looking at how fat his face is. Is that it? What about the rest of me?
Well,
not too good, huh?
No, I'm not saying that, Phil. It's much, much skinnier. But you do need to...
No kidding, I need to. I know exactly what I gotta do, too. Don't worry about it, man. You know, I mean, I enjoyed the summer, and the summer's over, and that's all there is to it. But, look, I mean, I'm doing the best I can here with what I got. I'm doing the best I can with what the good Lord... done did gave me. All right, on the line with us here from Corona, California is Stephen Bozell, and he's joining us, you know, a day after. I know you guys tried to get on the air yesterday, Steve. I apologize. What exactly were the issues?
Bud was, you know, you're, Bud, you know about it, right?
Yeah, the internet didn't work.
Yeah, the internet didn't work. I mean, we know all about how we was not able to get online. We could not get Phil TV up online. Okay, hold on for a minute, because Jerry Dunhill told me that they are spraying water.
Hold on for just a minute. You got another fire?
We have a fire up in Gorgo Canyon.
That sounds like the bus that Dr. Ron Tarner wasn't able to catch.
You're not in Denver, are you?
In Denver? What is...
Because that sound behind you sounds exactly like the transit train that Dr. Tarner wasn't able to catch in Denver.
No, this is a plane that's dropping water over in Gorgo Canyon. Okay, here it goes again. One of the things... Yeah, do it, baby. All right. I'm giving a high five to all the guys that are fighting fires here in California. We've had a very couple of fires this season, you know, and I'm just wishing them luck.
Do you have a bad fire up there right now?
No, we don't. It's not bad. We've got one up here behind Gorgo Canyon. Near the Godzilla. We call it the Godzilla because it's one of the big waterfalls we have, Phil, near Azusa Canyon. And where I live, you can see the Godzilla from where I live, and it's just a nice place to recreate, and we certainly do hope that the fire doesn't reach that area, but I don't think it will. I think...
So it's safe? They've got it contained?
I do believe they have it contained, but Jerry Hiller and a couple of the guys from the Corona Fire, you know, the L.A. County Fire out here in Corona, are flying that water in. They are using our pond, as I usually let them use the pond area.
You're letting them use the pond again, huh?
Yeah, there goes good. Yeah, all right, do it, man, do it. Yeah. And they're going over to Gorgo Canyon. They're going up near the Godzilla and the reef, so we ought to be all right.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad to know. I know you had an issue with these guys the last time we had you on the air, I think.
No, that was a couple of months ago. They had a young man who had just joined the fire service, and my daughter was out here watching as they were taking water out of the pond that we have here, and one of them was behaving in a very, you know, not very...
Yeah, he ate her.
Well, I didn't want to...
Okay, no, I understand. It was one of these young firefighters?
Yeah, he saw April Jr., and he got... I mean, she's a very attractive girl, and he got all hot and bothered and hung it out the window or something.
Well, what did he hang out the window?
I mean, it wasn't anything bad. He hung his butt, you know, and he took his pants down and hung his butt out.
That's how he's going to impress a girl, huh?
Yeah, I looked at him like he's a freak on wheels and everything. Here they come again. Yeah, do it, man. See, the one thing I don't want him to do is take too much water out of there. Go. They're coming in low. I love how they come in low. They suck it out, and they go.
What exactly are they doing, Steve? They're taking water from your pond.
Yeah, they're taking water out of our pond. They're taking it up to Gorgo Canyon. They're going up toward Godzilla Ridge. And then they're bringing it on back down to the Indian Mountain. and a couple of other places just to make sure. They want to wet everything up there. I want to make sure Godzilla's wet. I want to make sure Indian Mountain's wet, too.
What's going on? What about Godzilla?
What?
But why is he? Why do you got to put water on him?
It ain't a him. It's what a retard.
Okay, let's watch the language, if you don't mind, Steve.
I apologize.
It's not a him. It's a waterfall of some kind or some sort of a feature like that.
That's correct, Mr. Henry. And that Indian Mountain is a mountain. Okay.
Well, but you called it Godzilla.
Yeah, I did call it Godzilla because that's what they call it. God.
Okay, let's get off that and let's talk about the ball game. So we did not have a game yesterday, although you were going to do the Houston-Kansas City game.
Yeah, we were going to do Houston-Kansas City, Phil, as it turned out. It's almost like I'm sort of glad we didn't. Yeah, there he goes again. They got that same kid because I saw two. All right, I'm going to have to get on the phone. Anyway, we're going to see the Kansas City-Houston game, but I'm sort of almost glad we got a technical problem because I think I would have liked to have done the Colt-Bronco game to see Peyton Manning come back out and, you know, stand in front of the crowd. And it's one of those moments in all sports when a man returns to the place where he had done the thing that he done did and the excitement of all of it. See, here it comes again. Now, see that? You see the kid there, right there? I'm talking to my wife. There it is. There's two butt cheeks. I don't understand. God, I hate that. My wife's going in the house to call him.
What's going on?
Is that young man doing the same thing?
I said to my wife, I saw two butt cheeks. I don't know.
Well, whoever is doing that, you just put your daughter in the house. And the other thing is you're going to have to call a fire station.
Well, it's not a fire station. It's a place where the plane lands. I mean, it's way, way, way bigger and more important than some guy going down a pole. You know, that's why I've got to tread lightly with these guys.
Well, wait a minute, man. I don't care if they're taking water from your pond, and every time they fly by, I mean, it's pretty silly.
Well, it's more than I got a daughter I got to think about.
All right, hold the line here. Steve Bozell is with us along with our questions here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're talking about the game that got preempted because of technical problems this weekend. We're also discussing Colts and Broncos and Peyton Manning, and apparently there's a fire behind Steve's house. So a lot of excitement tonight. Oh, yeah, and a fire guy that's BA-ing his daughter. Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. We're online at PhilHenryShow.com with a backstage pass. You can watch the show as well as listen to it. You can get the daily podcast of our show. You can get our daily classic podcast. You can get the daily Bobby Dooley. The Bobby Dooley podcast is going to be free, right?
Yes, the Bobby Dooley will be. That's part of a free offering of the Phil Henry Show website. Very rare and very welcome.
Yeah, usually you're telling people they gotta pay.
Oh, well, now, ain't that too bad? I gotta make a living. Boy, oh, boy.
Well, what about this radio show?
Radio show is fine. I like doing a radio show. It doesn't pay anything, man. Are you kidding? Radio doesn't pay anything anymore. How many times I gotta tell you guys? Excuse me for a minute while I straighten my beret, folks. I'm sorry. You know, but isn't it supposed to look good? You know what I mean?
Well, yes, the beret is supposed to look good, Phil, but it doesn't look good on you.
But what is that about?
I found this beret. Maria found this beret. My ex-wife, she was, I don't know, probably cleaning out some garbage pit in the backyard and found, I don't know.
You think she threw your beret in a garbage pit? I think you should have more respect for her.
All right, fine. But in any event, she found this beret, and she said, "Do you want your beret?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, that's the one I bought in Paris." See, I was in Paris with her, and I thought, I got to look, you know.
Yeah, you got to look like one of the Paris people. You go over to Paris, man. You got to do all that. What do they call, you know, wee-wee.
Yeah, yeah, you got to do all of that, and
you're like all wee-wee mature and everything. No, you got to go like, you got to go wee-wee mature.
Okay, we got that figured out?
What do you mean wee-wee mature? Are you two imbeciles telling me that's the only French? You have to be able to speak French. You must be able to speak French. I've been to Paris, and I am able to get by because I have passable French.
Margaret, are you telling me that pronouncing word? We've been through this.
Yeah, we have been through it, so I don't want to go through it again. You don't go over there with a beret and go, "Oui, oui, monsieur." My God, if the two of you went over... You know what would happen if the two of you went over there? Whatever it was that the French were able to bury that they hate about us would be resurrected. That's for sure.
I don't care what the French think about me. I don't care about it at all.
Yeah, me neither.
Well, I do, because the French are very cultured. They are very, very much a civilized people. The food is absolutely exquisite.
Oh, God, you got to be putting me on. I like the food. Hey, by the way, we have Mr. Bozell on the phone here, so I apologize, Mr. Bozell, but we got sidetracked.
Hold on. No, that's okay, because I'm telling my wife what to do with my daughter. Put her in the... Make sure that she's covered up. I don't want her seeing that again. I've had a man flying by here with a rear end hanging out, and this is the second time. It may be L.A. fire. I don't think it is at this particular time, because I called up Dean Steele, who's a friend of mine over there, and Eric Spence. Both these guys here, look at this right here. There's the butt hanging out again. I don't think this is L.A. fire, Phil. I think this is a group of people that are just stealing water out of my pond.
Well, this area where the fire was, the Gorgo Canyon, was that it?
Gorgo Ravine and the Godzilla water feature. And then down over Indian Canyon or Indian Mountain, it's one of the two, I forget which one, but I've been over there.
You've been over to Indian Canyon?
Yes, sir.
Well, is it a canyon or a mountain?
I think it's a mountain, that's for sure.
Well, then isn't it called Indian Mountain?
No, I think it's called Indian Canyon, even though, look at this, there's his ass hanging out. So, yeah, honey, go ahead. I don't think it's L.A. fire, I think these are some clowns. Okay, I'm very upset about this, Phil.
All right, look, all you got to do is call up the police or whoever these guys are. Do you know these guys?
No, I don't know these guys. My daughter is sitting here watching them collect, water. They're supposed to be going over to Gorgo Village. And
What is the name of the place? Is there a fire? Do you see a fire anywhere?
No, I do not.
Okay, so there's no smoke. You're safe.
Yes, sir, but I assume that was because of the firefighting abilities of L.A. County Fire, and they're one of the best that the world has ever known. Now, everyone around the world knows L.A. County Fire because of the fires that they have fought and successfully defeated to save homes. Gorgo Village, which was in flames here not a half hour ago, is now a very bustling... Yeah, you too, pal. You know what I'm going to do? I'll pull my pants down.
Get the police, get the fire guys to make sure these clowns, get them out of the air. You don't have to pull your pants down.
Well, I'll tell you now.
You know, you're wasting a lot of time. You're supposed to be talking about football.
Ma'am, I know that I'm supposed to be talking about football. Who am I speaking with, please?
This is Margaret Gray.
Oh, yeah, yes, ma'am. Look, Margaret, I know that I'm supposed to be talking about football, but when a guy flies by and he's got his bare rear end hanging through it, and my daughter is staring at that like it's the first time she's seen a fireworks display, I can see in her eyes the fascination, and right away I've got to think, well, what the hell's going on here? And I find out it's just some clowns. Here they come again. No, this is really L.A. County Fire because there's nobody BA-ing us. And I got my pants down. Oh, God, help me.
Wait, no, all right, Steve, what's going on now?
Hold on. Hold the phone, will you, honey? I got to zip.
What is going on now?
I pulled my pants down because I thought it was going to be these kids, and it turns out that was L.A. Fire, so I got big trouble now.
What an idiot, man.
Why don't you just hold your tongue on that, okay? Do you mind, Dickman?
No, you're an idiot. You should figure out who's doing it. You're not going to pull your pants down. What's that mean?
I BA'd them to show them I don't have no respect for them. Okay, they just BA'd me, and my pants got pulled up. I've got to time this right.
You don't have to time anything. You get the cops to get these guys grounded and get them away from your water supply.
Well, I haven't seen them. I've just seen L.A. County Fire. Now, I know L.A. County Fire...
Has L.A. County Fire been out there, or has these clowns that... Are they in a marked plane?
What do you mean, a marked plane?
Are there L.A. County Fire markings on the plane?
The L.A. County Fire plane, there is.
Okay, what about the other one?
No, sir.
Well, then I guess we know who the bad guys are. Now, have you seen them?
No, they're not here. I just saw L.A. County Fire fly by again. So, Gorgo Village, which was in flames, as I told you, the Gorgo Ravine, but there is a Gorgo Village that services that area, was a village that was trapped in flames, and now it's a bustling little metropolis with all kinds of, ox carts going in, and they're not ox carts, but, traffic and everything.
What is this place? Where do you live, man?
I'm sorry?
Where do you live?
Bill, I told you, I live in Corona, California.
Yes, but what is this Gorgo Village? Is this sounds almost medieval.
No, ma'am, it's just one of the towns that's close to Corona.
Yeah, but you're talking about it's a bustling little metropolis with ox carts?
No, no, I meant to say trucks, but I've seen, I mean, there's the odd ox cart that goes in there, but they have vehicular traffic.
Yeah, but why do they gotta have an ox cart?
Hey, look, I'm not answering any questions of you, man. You're my colored commentator, okay?
Not colored.
Hey, why don't you learn how to say that, man? It's color commentator.
What do you call him?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was colored commentator.
Man, they don't call it colored commentator, man. It's called color commentator.
I know that now that someone tells me.
You ought to know that. No one needs to tell you that, okay? Now, what the hell is going on over there, man? Was there a fire at Gorgo Village or what?
No, it's Gorgo Ravine.
Well, what was on fire?
I believe the village was threatened. And there was a stream of people leaving the village with only the possessions they had on an ox cart.
On an ox cart? What are you talking about, man? I've never heard of this place called Gorgo Village and the Godzilla water feature and all this other crap. Is it an amusement park?
Is what?
Is that Gorgo Village a part of Disneyland or something?
No, you idiot. I mean, there's real human beings back there threatened by the fire.
What? Oh, man, I got to tell you something, Steve. You know, I'm going to get on the phone or something. I'm going to find out what you're talking about because you ain't making any sense. Okay?
My daughter just got BA'd by a kid who has his own water plane. Some punk kid in the neighborhood has got his own water tanker, and he's flying by and BA'ing my daughter. Now, if that isn't enough to set a man free in the worst possible way, I don't know what is, man.
You know something, man? I think that you are coming unglued. I think that you need to go in for a physical. I really do.
Oh, yeah, right.
No, I really do.
Steve, do you know that, well, I better not say, but you do, I think you do need a physical as well because...
Because what?
We're going to let you go, okay?
Yeah, and try to show up for the game next week.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna find you, Dickman. I'm going to make you my own special project next week, okay?
What do you want to touch me and everything?
Man, I want to touch you. I want to put a foot right...
All right, so, and shut up, bud.
You heard what he said.
Shut up, bud. You know what we were reading, right?
Yes.
Okay, I want to tell everybody, we were reading, Margaret and I, because I'm reading, and this is the kind of, you know, dippy guy that I am, I'm reading the Lincoln Assassination Commission proceedings. I'm actually reading the transcript of the Lincoln Assassination Trial. That's just kind of, that's the dork that I am. I mean, I'm a history nerd. Now, there was a man who was mentioned in these trial proceedings by the name of John McCullough. John McCullough was an actor who was a friend of John Wilkes Booth. And John McCullough had no involvement in the assassination. He just happened to check into a hotel in Washington with John Wilkes Booth on a particular day in 1864, 1865. These two actors, they were both going to be playing at Ford's Theater. They checked into the National Hotel. Both of them Shakespearean-trained actors. John McCullough apparently contracted syphilis early in life. And here we go again with this theme.
What does that mean, Phil? Frank is nowhere near as cracked as this McCullough bird, okay?
As this McCullough bird.
You go ahead and laugh.
All right, well, the fact is that this man had a condition, and I'll get into it. We're going to go into a commercial break, and I'll let you know what happened and the ins and the outs, and if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah.
If you'll pardon the expression. Of what happened to John McCullough later on in life and the condition that he had, I think Bozell may have it. Okay, so that's probably going to get him angry at me, but I'm sorry, Steve. That's just how I feel about it. It's 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we're online at philhenryshow.com, so join us, won't you? Okay, we'll be right back after these fine commercial announcements. After the broadcast tonight on Phil TV, Night of the Living Dead. Back with Steve Bozell and what we think is wrong with him in a moment. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and number 855-500-7445. And we're talking here, or we're talking, we were talking with Stephen Bozell. I guess, you know, we didn't get around to Peyton Manning and the Colts and this weekend of football that we were enjoying because Steve was too busy looking at some guy BAing his daughter again.
Get it together.
Now, what I wanted to do, oh, you know what? Bloody hell.
Well, look up John McCullough. Boy, you're too busy, Phil, pulling it.
What is that supposed to mean?
About doing the commercial break, man. Shouldn't be fingering it.
Yeah, quit fingering it and get to work.
What do you think you guys are doing, standing around talking to me? If I was, quote, fingering it.
Well,
in any event, this dude had an untreated condition. It was an untreated condition of syphilis. I think that was his name. In any event, and I don't want the news, I want the web. He was an actor, John Edward McCullough. Now, the condition that he had...
You're talking about a man that got... He was an actor.
Yeah.
So I think what we're doing... It's a little bit of a slander on actors to say, well, here we go again, an actor with syphilis.
Are you kidding?
What does that mean?
An actor with syphilis, here we go again? I didn't say anything about that. I didn't say anything about that. You did. Okay?
Well, Phil, it's pretty much...
Well, no, it ain't pretty much. Here's what he had. John McCullough, a friend of John Wilkes Booth, was an actor, a Shakespearean actor, a very well-known actor in the United States in the mid-part of the 19th century. He was a man who also had played in Europe to some acclaim, and to be a successful actor at that time in the world, at least in the English-speaking world, you had to be able to succeed on stage in London. You had to go to London and really hit it out of the park there. And in the United States, certainly, the road to London went through New York. Once you had succeeded and became, you know, a star of stage, one who obviously, even in those days, people knew actors by face because they were their images were published in newspapers, they were on playbills, etc., then you would play the larger cities in the United States, like Washington, like Boston, or, you know, on your way up. This man, John McCullough, by this point in his life, was an actor who had this achievement. Now, he acquired or contracted or was infected with syphilis early in his life. By the time he was in his early 50s, it had turned into what is called general paresis, P-A-R-E-S-I-S.
He was in the Union Army?
Oh, you're a moron. You know that.
You kidding me or something, man?
In the Union Army.
What?
You're a real... Bud, you're a record-breaking jackass. We're talking about a physical condition.
General paresis ain't a Union general. It was something that people had. It was a disease.
Well, why would I know that?
Why don't you keep your mouth shut and listen to what I'm saying? Are you making jokes?
No, I'm not making a joke. You said... In a civil war.
Just because I said the civil war and I said the word general doesn't mean I'm talking about a guy in the army. General paresis of the insane is a physical condition. Just listen, okay?
I think he did that on purpose. I think he thinks he's being funny. You're not funny.
I didn't do anything on purpose, but if you want to say that I did, then okay. I heard a Union Army and I heard the Civil War.
You didn't say nothing about Union Army, you moron. You're talking about general paresis.
He said Union Civil War.
Bud... Be quiet, or I'm gonna start to belch you. I'm gonna do what that guy did that we talked to from Oklahoma. Pick up a bowl of freaking meatballs and throw them at you.
Where?
Never mind. I'll make them and bring them downstairs. General paresis, also known as general paralysis of the insane or paralytic dementia. Oh my God. Is a neuropsychiatric disorder affecting the brain caused by late stage syphilis. Let that be a lesson to you.
The guy didn't get a shot?
No, he didn't get a shot. They didn't have shots back then. If you got syphilis back then, man, and you ignored it, you ignored the symptoms, this is what happened. So what happened to this guy McCullough, this friend of John Wilkes Booth, this actor, this guy who his name appears in the court proceedings during the trial of the conspirators who were tried in the assassination of President Lincoln, the attack on Secretary of State Seward, because... John Wilkes Booth had checked into the National Hotel with John McCullough, the two of them appearing at an earlier time at Ford's Theater. John McCullough at that time was in his 30s, like John Wilkes Booth. Now, both of these cats got around. John Wilkes Booth had all kinds of girlfriends. Okay?
Again, this is a slander on actors, Phil.
Well, Margaret, if it's a slander, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. They had girlfriends. John Wilkes Booth had all kinds of chicks, and he had them in every city. This guy McCullough probably wasn't any different. There's some things that never change, and one thing is that actors, you know, are popular with the general public, and if they're men or if they're women, they're going to attract members of the opposite sex. And if you're a rapscallion and a roustabout like a John Wilkes Booth, who imagined himself to be much greater a man than he was, who thought he was just all that and a cup of tea, you know, he was, oh, well, I'm not only am I an actor, but I'm going to change the future of America by, you know, and this guy McCullough was probably no different. These guys, into every town they went.
Every town they went into, they defouled women, is what you're saying. They took advantage of women.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's what they did, take advantage of them.
You don't know about that. Women probably want to go to bed with them anyway.
I'm not saying that they didn't want to. I saw John Wilkes Booth's picture. He looks like he looks like he was born with a birth defect to the face. I don't think there's anything attractive about him at all.
In any event, so these guys had girlfriends, and guess what happened? You got it.
How come John Wilkes Booth didn't have neuropsychiatric?
You mean general paresis of the insane? I don't know. Got lucky. Maybe he did, for all I know. You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe he did. I don't know. The autopsy on John Wilkes Booth, there was one conducted, but I don't know what they found, you know.
I'll tell you what they found. They found a bullet in his neck.
Yeah, man, Drew Bottle.
Get out of here. Found a bullet in his neck. In any event, general paresis is based on chronic meningocephalitis, that leads to cerebral atrophy. Degenerative changes are associated primarily with the frontal and temporal lobar cortex. Like syphilis itself, general paralysis is also treated with penicillin. Now, this is the thing about this disease. In the 19th century, it killed you, it drove you mad. And what happened to John McCullough? He was on stage in Detroit. No, excuse me, he was on stage in Chicago, and he collapsed. He collapsed on stage. He began raving, all kinds of lunatic things. They eventually put him into they didn't have psychiatric hospitals then. They called them lunatic asylums. And the poor man died from this disease. Today, it's treated with penicillin. Even if it reaches this stage. Even if you're a raving lunatic, it reaches that stage, it can still be treated with penicillin. So I would say to you, Bud, and you, Robert, would you please make sure that you get your shots? All right.
That's not fair to say that.
Well, I'm just saying it. Make sure you get your rabies shots, Bud. All right, baby. Coming up next hour, General Galen Shaw is going to join us, General Galen Shaw, to talk with us about the rollout of the health care law, the rollout, really, of the health care exchanges. How are people doing? The news has not been good. People are complaining. They're saying that, they're on hold for a long time and this and that and something else. President Obama addressed a lot of these problems, and we will, too, with General Galen Shaw next, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Every night till 10 o'clock here on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. There's radio, and then there's us, the Phil Hendry Show. We have General Galen Shaw joining us this hour. He will talk with us about the healthcare rollout, about the healthcare exchanges, the insurance exchanges that have encountered all manner of problem. President Obama's discussion of that. Just a reminder that we're back with our Game of the Week next Sunday. We apologize for the technical difficulties that we had, but the Game of the Week next Sunday. Following tonight's show on Phil TV and HD will be a showing of Night of the Living Dead.
That's a bitching movie. It's kind of old. Yeah, not like a zombie movie now.
Well, what? It's zombie enough. I'm tired of the zombie.
All right, well, we'll talk about that. I mean, we're not going to talk about it. What are you, tired of the zombies? You're tired of the zombies. People are down, they're down with zombies. There's no getting around it. Zombie is where it is, man, you know.
What a thing to be talking about during the healthcare. This is what bothers me, and I know that General Shaw will be addressing it.
General Shaw will be addressing what?
I'll let General Shaw address it.
Well, he will discuss the zombie.
About health care? You got to be putting me on.
No, just the idea that because of the zombies, there are people getting health care, you know.
Because of zombies?
No. But, like, if you're afraid that...
If, for whatever reason, there's something to this, you need health care.
You know something, Margaret.
I'm not saying there is. I'm saying it has people out there worried.
Well, then let them be worried. I'm going to tell you something right now. If that just don't beat all. We got a country of people that are debating the merits of health care and also worried about whether or not they're going to need maybe an upgrade in their coverage because of a zombie biting them. This is beyond dumb. And plus, this is the very thing that was happening when that horrifying event in Miami took place of that man having his face eaten off. People were calling the CDC asking if there was such a thing as zombies. What? Let me ask you a question, seriously.
Oh, Phil, don't get judgmental.
No. I'm serious. I mean this. What faraway region of the planet do you have to be raised in? What holler? What jungle? What cave were you raised in to call the CDC and ask if there is a zombie or cannibal-like epidemic happening in America? When did you lose touch with the civilized world?
It's a very normal thing.
People were worried about it because of all the television.
No. I'm sorry. That doesn't play. It just doesn't play. If you honestly called the CDC to ask if there were zombies or something having to do with cannibals, you were raised in a hermetically sealed environment where, I'm telling you, you worshipped the blender. You bowed down and worshipped can openers. That was the mentality. Okay?
Worship can openers?
I mean, you lived in a Stone Age spiritualist animist society where you didn't even believe in a monotheistic god. You probably believed in a pantheon of gods. You grew up with a G-string. You grew up with spears. You grew up with, you know what I'm saying, loincloths. You're from the jungle.
Yeah, so it's racism.
It's not racism, talk about the jungle.
What do you mean racism? I'm just saying, you gotta be some kind of I don't even know where to begin. I you're a feral child. You're a wild child, man. You're from a cave, and yet there are people, but they know how to dial a phone. That's what I don't understand. How do you know how to dial a telephone, but you believe in zombies? Where is that from? All right, we got to turn off the band, okay?
I like it.
Well, that's so do I, but we got to get to you. General Galen Shaw joining us from Washington, D.C. General Shaw, we heard the president talk about the health care exchange problems. We heard him say there was no excuse. We heard him say that... That it had to be fixed, that there would be a tech surge to fix it. And I suppose those of you who are, those of you who don't like this law were overjoyed at this.
Phil, no, there's no joy among us on the anti-Obamacare side when we see Americans struggling to utilize a system that we knew was unwieldy, that we knew would not work, and that we knew would eventually lead to a catastrophic breakdowns in social services. You've mentioned zombies more than once. I don't believe in zombies any more than I believe in the tooth fairy or any of these mythical creatures. And yet, when you have that kind of panic, the system and all things that are relative to civilization fall apart.
What are you talking about? You're talking about the healthcare exchange?
I'm talking about the fact that the Obama healthcare exchange doesn't work, and you people are talking, and I don't mean you people, Robert, as in black people. I hope you understand.
No, that's all right.
All right. I mean you people, you four there, are talking about the zombie apocalypse. All right, fine. Do what you will. Believe in what you want to. But I am not going along for the ride. I can tell you that I will let that train go through the station. I'm inside getting jujubes or chocolate-covered raisins. No, thank you. My feeling and the feeling of a great many people, is that Obamacare is a disaster on its own. You don't need to fear this asinine zombie discussion that you're having. Now,
hold on for a minute. Obamacare is a disaster based on what? The fact that people are not able to get online to purchase it.
Well, I think that is a pretty good start to understanding what a disaster it is. But we also have, Phil, the various news stories that I saw. People who have their own insurance already and have seen those rates skyrocket as a result of Obamacare.
Now, you are talking...
Hold on, let me finish. There was one lady who had Anthem Insurance, and she said she saw her monthly premium go from $250 a month up to over $400 a month, and there are other stories like that.
All right, now hold on for just a second, General, because we have to be fair. That is a story, I saw that same story, that is a story that I have no doubt in my mind is being replicated across the country. And I also want to say the following thing, that just like everything else in this world, when something new is rolling out, there is all manner of news that is both inaccurate, influenced by a little bit of panic, is influenced, no doubt, by a certain number of ideologically motivated people that want it to be bad news. So, you know what, man? I'm not taking any of this news right now as gospel. You have insurance, don't you?
I have. Yes, I do.
What kind?
You know, I don't think that's really any of your business. And I don't mean that in an unkind way, Phil.
You said you had Medicare.
That's right. You said you had Medicare.
You said you had Medicare. Honey, I'm on the radio with these people, you know. I'm talking to my wife, and they think they've got me over a barrel. My wife's here. She's having some of the Pepperidge Farm that we bought. They think they have me over a barrel. Honey, are you listening to me? I'm on the air.
Okay, but General, you have to talk to us.
No, I know that. Hold on. My wife is here, and I want to... They think that... What are you having, darling? Can you lift your head up from the Pepperidge? My wife, we just got the Pepperidge Farm, Phil. Do you ever have that?
Yeah. I do.
All right, forget it. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be convivial. So, honey, all right, my wife is having dessert, but I wanted to tell her what a monkey, and I don't mean monkey in a racial way, but you're making a monkey out of yourself.
Well, General Shaw, this is Margaret Gray. You know I admire you.
And I you.
Well, yes, but I disagree with you 100% on this. Whether or not your wife, Cecilia, who I think is a wonderful woman, is eating Pepperidge Farm or not, the fact is that this is too early to pass judgment on the health care exchanges. And you do have Medicare insurance. You said so earlier in the show.
All right, so you're going to use that as ammunition how?
Well, no, I'm not using it as ammunition. And what I wanted to say is the following thing. You have a government. You have a government-controlled, a government-mandated form of insurance for people who are seniors. What the difference is between that and Obamacare, I can only guess at because, frankly, I don't. There isn't any. It's Obamacare seems to be much easier to get.
No, it is not. Obamacare, just the evidence that we have right now is more difficult.
But you say that you're opposed to Obamacare for its cost to the taxpayer. The fact is there is no way that Medicare could exist without passing that cost along, whether it was paid for with a tax, as Obamacare is supposed to be paid for, at least in part, whether it was paid for by increasing the premiums of people. The fact is premiums were going up anyway and are going up anyway. I don't know why it is people don't see that.
You know, you can sit and give a speech all you want, Phil, but the fact of the matter remains...
I'm not giving a speech. I'm just telling you what's happening.
The fact of the matter remains that 20 million people have tried to get online to get Obamacare and have come away empty-handed and with egg dripping off of their faces. Now, I will tell you this. Before you declare it to be a victory because there are 20 million people trying to get Obamacare, I don't think that that's necessary. Those are 20 million people that might not go to the hospital at all. Those are 20 million people that may just find a way to pay for their health care.
Are you willing to bet on that?
Hold on for a minute. Either find a way to pay for their health care, or yes... And it's a tragedy, and I wish that it wouldn't happen, but go without health care entirely, never even go to the hospital. So you can't say that the uninsured cost money.
General Shaw, that is ridiculous. The people that are sick are going to go to the doctor.
You're pretty sure of that?
Yeah, I am.
I'm asking Margaret.
Yes.
Well, I don't see how you could make that statement.
Wait. You're telling me that somebody that is sick is not... Well, you know, we got to take a break. Hold on for a minute.
You have to take a break now, right when I'm... So that's the...
We'll be right back with you, General Shaw, if you don't mind. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. Look, you know, say what you want. If someone's sick, they're going to go to the doctor. If you're sitting here and telling me, wow, you know what, now these people are going to have medical care before they might not have even gone to the doctor. They might not have cost us a cent. What about that? That's pretty cool, too. I'm sorry, man. I ain't buying it. All right. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-500-7445, online at philhendryshow.com. Back with General Galen Shaw, talking about the rough rollout here of the healthcare exchanges in a moment of the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Welcome back here as we talk here to General Galen Shaw about the rollout of the whole healthcare thing and how it has affected America. There's people that are not getting their, they're not getting online and not getting this thing wrapped up. There's a lot of glitches, but personally, General, as you know, I don't think that means failure. I mean, there's a lot of glitches. It's a brand new system. You're in the military, or were. Isn't that what is the standard thing when you roll out something new?
Hold on for a minute, Bill. I told them I don't want any of these kids anywhere near me. Yes, Phil, that is, I've got some children that are playing near me, and I told the mall security that I'm going to be on the air with you, and yet I still have some of them sitting here. My wife and I are over at the Cheesecake Factory and enjoying the Pepperidge Farm. Now, if I cannot get some quiet, can you see to it that these children are...
Yes, I will, sir.
And what is your name?
My name is David.
David, if you would keep these children away from me, I don't want them anywhere near me, all right?
I understand.
Who is that, security?
Yes, that's the mall security here. And my wife, Cecilia, who just is a wonderful woman. Are you enjoying the Pepperidge Farm, dear? She had a stroke last year. Are you enjoying it, dear? She loves it, the Pepperidge Farm. So, Phil, as I was saying...
And your wife is covered with health insurance?
No, Phil, she's not. I'm going to dump her on the street in front of a hospital and then speed away. Yes, she's covered. What a question to ask of a woman that I love and have loved all of these years. And
all right, I understand. I'm just asking, General, that's all, you know.
You know something? Because I don't believe in Obamacare doesn't mean that I am not going to insure my wife and watch a woman that I love more than life itself have a stroke and then say, okay, I guess I can take her to the hospital. I'll push her out of the car with my right leg while the left one is still on the brake, and she'll roll into the street, and I'm sure they'll find her sooner or later. And then speed away. Is that what you expect me to do?
No, that is not. You know full well that's not what I expect.
Well, I don't know why you would ask a question of me. Honey, you know what Mr. Hendry said?
Okay, look, General, this is a sidetrack that we don't need.
Let him do it.
Yeah, there you go. Take Margaret's advice. Let me do it. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Margaret, and I know that you're not on my side.
No, I think the audience needs to hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, just for that, I'm not going to talk to her then. All right, my opinion, Phil.
All right, you've given us your opinion. Would you care to comment on some of the things that I said?
Like what?
Like, for instance, the fact that you know that equipment, you know the technology.
Oh, yes, I did want to comment. No, I very much did want to comment. Honey, Mr. Hendry wants me to comment.
Could you talk to the audience and not your wife?
This is my wife, Mr. Hendry. You don't tell me I don't talk to my wife. I'm making sure that she's not drooling the cake down the front of her new pantsuit. Do you mind? A woman that I love.
General Shaw, this is Mar. If she is not capable of feeding herself, shouldn't you have a nurse there?
No, she is capable of feeding herself. But occasionally, some of the cake comes out of her mouth
and goes down her chin and her front. The spittle... never mind. You people will never understand.
Of course I understand. Margaret's asking a question. Is there someone there feeding her?
She feeds herself, thank you very much. Let me have a napkin. Look at this. Now she's spit up. And I believe it's because she's been bothered by these kids. I told you to get these brats out of here. I'm trying right now. All right.
Brat, that's a very good term. Are you a grandfather?
Yes, I am a grandfather. That's why I call them brats. I love my grandchildren, but they can, when they, and you know these children, Phil, they stick their tongue out, and they go, nah, I don't know what these things are that they do, and I hate them when they do that.
All right, we've gotten off the subject far enough. Tell me what you think about what I just said in terms of the technology, in terms of glitches. You've worked with weapon systems. You've worked with new weapon systems. And you know that things can go wrong.
I know that there is a testing phase for all weapon systems, Phil. There's no question about it. But what you don't know and what you don't seem to want to deal with is the fact that when you have a testing phase, you're not in a war. You're not in a battle situation.
That's really true, General. Good point.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Bud.
Yeah, a minute ago, Bud was saying...
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You were saying you thought General Shaw had that mental thing.
What did he say?
I did not.
He thought you had advanced syphilis.
You've got a fight coming. It's coming today.
Well.
I mean that. You got a fight coming. It's coming today. Boy, I hope. I'm going to send you to hell on a shutter.
That's the second day in a row someone is quoting Tombstone.
I'm not quoting Tombstone. Tombstone quoted me. Now, I'll say it again, Phil. You don't take a system, a new system, a new technology, and if I have a weapon system, the last thing I'm going to do is say, oh, goody, look at the new gun. Let's go into a war and test it. Of course not. You're going to wind up getting yourself killed, and you're going to wind up scrubbing an entire operation and probably getting a lot of people killed. No, sir. You test it beforehand. But I don't think Obama did that. You can see, with 20 million people...
All right, now, wait a minute. Hold on for just a second here. How do you test a system when you know there's going to be millions and millions of... How do you adequately test a system when you don't have millions and millions of people to use to test it?
Say that again, because I think you're going to be surprised at just how inaccurate your question is. Go ahead.
You know, General Shaw, hold on, Phil. There used to be a saying, there are no stupid questions, only stupid answers, or no... The only stupid question is the one you don't ask.
What?
I said, there used to be a saying that the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. And you're belittling Phil for asking a question.
Because it's a stupid question.
All right, never mind. So, what about that? What about the fact that there aren't 20 million or 30 million or 40 million people to test the system with?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about because you just saw 20 million people go on the system. Well, I realized that there were 20 million people that were trying. But my point is this, all right?
Yeah, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not like you got all caught.
No, I didn't get caught. I've got a wife that is spitting up more of the Pepperidge Farm cake than she's eating. I've got children that are running amok, and I've got a security apparatus here at the Sleepy Echo, what is the name of this mall, Brad? Sleepy Hollow Mall, that is obviously not... you know what, Phil? I'm going to have to get back to you because I am...
All right, hold on for a minute. We'll be right back. General Galen Shaw on the line as he talks with us here about healthcare, and I think I've got him over a barrel, if you'll pardon the expression, because I said, well, how do you test a system like that, you know?
Well, maybe it doesn't work.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't work.
Oh, I see. So we live in a culture where the internet is the latest and greatest, and people live on the internet and sing its praises. Now all of a sudden it doesn't work. I got it. Phil Hendry Show. Sorry. Welcome back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. On the line, General Galen Shaw, as we continue this discussion of the healthcare. I don't think there's much of a discussion left to do here, General. You're going to have your opinion. I'm going to have mine. Let's get just one more segment in on President Obama's comments today saying that, you know, he wants to fix this thing.
Well, look, Phil, I think the president is, would you shut them up? If you don't shut them up, I'll go over and shut them up. You know,
that's not necessary.
General Shaw, that was wrong.
I'm very irritated with this conversation because you seem to think that, you won't listen to me when I tell you this is going to go through the floor and it'll be a disaster.
Okay, fine. I take your word for it. You think it's going to be a disaster. One thing that is not going to happen, you aren't going to stop it. You're not going to stop it from rolling out. It's going to happen. People like, you know, forgive me, General Shaw, but if you're hoping for the failure of this thing, you're betting against a lot of people that want insurance.
What about the taxpayers that are going to take it right straight? And I told you, and you didn't want to hear about the fact that this was a bill that was shoved down the throat and up. And I said what I said, Margaret, not to be prurient, but I said what I said because I felt that it needed to be said, that it not only was a bill being shoved down the throats of the American people, it was being shoved up where you go to the bathroom. And forgive me for being childish.
It is absolutely childish. And you brought up Michelle Bachmann.
I brought up Michelle Bachmann only to say that she was a very courageous congresswoman who, because of where that bill was placed, is walking bow-legged. And you wanted to turn that into a joke.
But it is a joke. It is a joke.
Well, it's not to me.
Well, it's a joke anyway. Michelle Bachmann's walking bow-legged. Let me tell you something. You can believe what you want to believe, but the one thing that's not going to happen, as you found out, they're not going to turn this bill back. They're not going to get rid of it. They're not going to delay it for a year. They're not going to this, and they're not going to that. It's going to roll out because, look, every step of the way, people have been looking to undermine it. They've been looking to lie about it. They've been looking to lie about the math, which they've been doing nonstop. They've been looking to do everything they can to undermine something that every civilized country in the world has got. And it deserves a shot. It deserves a chance. The country's spending far too much on health care as it is, trillions and trillions of dollars.
Well, that's a nice speech, Mr. Henry, but we'll see, especially whether or not the lady that was on today talking about her health care bill going up 100%. We'll see, Mr. Henry, whether or not that continues or whether that, as you hope, begins to decrease. I would hope that it would decrease as well, but I'm too much a realist. I know the damage this bill will do. And I think,
General Shaw, you've got to slow down.
What are you doing?
I've got way too many ideas, and I want to say them. Here's another idea just came. I've got a lot of ideas.
Just slow down, otherwise you're going to get general paresis of the insane.
I don't have syphilis, jackass. Boy, well, there's one more thing. I've got to kill. I want to hurt you.
All right, General Shaw, just ease it back, okay? Ease it back.
Okay. But
never mind.
I don't think.
Yeah, it sounds like he's not going to make it back.
Make it back? Yeah, I don't think he's going to make it back either. I've got so many ideas, I don't know how to. What are you talking about, bud?
It sounds like you had that general paresis.
You got to have syphilis first.
Well?
Well, you better watch how you say things, man. You don't know whether that man has that, and I know for a fact he doesn't. He's not mental. It sounds to me like he was getting over agitated. And we thank you very much, General. He's a good man. He's been on twice tonight.
Well, he is an elderly man, and to have him up late.
Oh, give me a break. Up late.
Yeah, most of the old people, they don't even sleep, man. My aunt, she hardly ever sleeps. She's awake, and she listens to overnight shows and, what do you call, that one guy, Steve Wellman, Ian Punnett.
Who?
He's talking about on Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
Oh, your aunt listens to Coast to Coast, huh?
Yeah, a lot of times she listens to Coast to Coast. And everything like that.
Is she? So your aunt, we're talking about Mavis, right?
Yeah.
And she is awake all night.
Yeah, a lot of times. Well, not all night.
Yeah, a lot of old people, they don't need to have that much sleep.
Well, I know the elderly only sleep for a few hours a night. It just is something that happens to you as you get older. Like, how many hours do you sleep, Phil?
That's very funny.
I'm only kidding.
I sleep like a rock. These days, I'm sleeping really good, man. I don't know what I don't know what it is, but I'm sleeping better. I think I know what it is. The new hours. the new hours that we have. We're off the air earlier every night. We used to be on from 10 to 1 on the West Coast, and now we're off the air at 10. And these hours, they're fantastic because we have a little bit of work that we have to do after the show. I get it done, and I'm rock and roll. I'm feeling good, you know. Okay, so thank you very much, General Shaw, and I hope you get whatever's, you know, wrong with you.
That's not fair to say some of you is wrong with him.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, I do hope that all works out for you there, General Shaw. Well, he's talking about his wife sitting there drooling her Pepperidge Farm down the front of her. I don't know what she's talking about. All right, meanwhile, Chris Christie, who is this governor of New Jersey, this guy ain't exactly the most popular. He's not the most popular.
Not the most popular bulb on the tree.
Yeah.
The most popular bulb on the tree?
You don't say popular bulb on the tree, you gloid.
Would you not call him that?
You say he's not the most. He's not the most.
Not the most popular blade in the drawer.
Not the most popular blade. Not the brightest bulb on the tree.
That's it. He's not the most. He's not the brightest bulb on the tree.
What about the most popular one?
There ain't no popular bulb on the tree, man. You're gonna have to come up with a different. Maybe he's not the most popular girl at the dance. How about that one?
That's a good one.
Well,
that's the one we're gonna use. Okay. He's not the most popular girl at the dance among Republicans because, you know, the guy, he did the most horrific thing that you can possibly do. He shook hands with and actually spent a civil afternoon of discussion with President Obama. Now, if you're a Republican, I guess you're not allowed to do that. I don't know.
Well, that's not, you're not supposed to do that.
Why don't you spit it out, man?
That's what you ought to do.
Guys tell me to do it.
All right, shut up, gentlemen. What do you mean he's not supposed to do that?
If you are a Republican, you can't talk a Democrat.
Yes, you can. Who says you can't?
You went, yes, you can.
Your voice did crack there, Phil.
Okay, thank you. It's duly noted my voice cracked. Did anybody miss that? Bud, would you demonstrate what I did?
Yeah. Should I?
Go ahead, man.
Mr. Henry, he goes, yes, you can.
Oh, your voice cracked. You didn't do it good.
Yes, you can. Is that it?
Yeah, but that was funny, Mr. Henry.
Okay, great. Did we get that out of our system?
Do it again.
You yell, yes, you can.
Okay, are you done? Are you done?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. You can say that a Republican can talk to a Democrat.
That's not what I was talking about.
Yes, it is what you were talking about. You can say that a Republican was talking to a Democrat and talking civilly, and there's nothing wrong with that. And in this country of ours, especially when we're up against really grave challenges, we have opposite parties communicating all the time. Do you know who was sent to England as an emissary in World War II? In World War II, right after President Roosevelt was elected to his third term, in 1940-41, do you know who he sent to England as an emissary to ensure and to assure, I should say, the British that America would be supporting them with Lend-Lease, that America would provide what they needed in their solitary fight against the Germans? Do you know who he sent?
Well, no, I guess, was it a Republican?
It was the Republican candidate that he defeated in the election, Wendell Willkie. Wendell Willkie came out in support of America's effort in World War II just about before any Republican did. And he had been the president, he had been the opponent of President Roosevelt's 1940 election. But when he took a look at what was going on in the world, and I'm not saying that Roosevelt convinced him, I think anybody with a brain in their head could take a look at what was happening in the world and what may very well draw us in, and Willkie was 100% in favor of it. Roosevelt sent Wendell Willkie as his emissary. Now, that was a time when Americans stood together, shoulder to shoulder, and they went ahead and they did what they had to do. They didn't question everything like a bunch of spoiled, rotten kids. They didn't say, well, you know, I don't think I have the time for that because I want to do this and that and something else. You know.
You talk about American talk like that?
Yeah, I think figuratively that's how we talk. You know, I was saying before the show, We got a story here. What happened? Some guy, a man, slugged a woman. A New York Jet fan clocked some female New England Patriot fan at the game yesterday, the Jets-Patriots game. And all you got to do is go on Facebook to see really how adults communicate in this world of ours. And if children did what their adults really do, what their parents really do, if children mimicked the real behavior of adults in this world, children would steal, they'd lie, they'd sexually harass, they'd be racist. I'm telling you right now.
That is a very cruel indictment.
I'm telling you right now, I see it all the time. So don't tell me it's a cruel indictment. I see how adults behave. I see how adults behave online. I see how adults behave on these social media sites. Adults, like grown adults with kids, with jobs. They're racist, they're sexist, they're ignorant as hell, they're insulting as hell. And why? Because they have this veneer of anonymity. And I heard a psychologist say, and let's take a break.
You know, I'm talking about psychology, man. You don't not qualified, though.
Hey, easy, okay, Robert?
You don't know if he's qualified or not. I'm just saying.
Easy, okay? Dr. Laura wasn't a psychologist. She had a show that went on for years talking psychology.
Ooh, you're going to get in trouble.
With who? Who am I going to get in trouble with?
You don't work with them no more.
No more.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't have to, you know, mind my P's and Q's. Thank you very much for anyone, Margaret. So let that be a lesson to you. 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. It's about the best purchase you'll make for any online entertainment site. Other than porn. I got to give it to porn. They got it all over us. But as far as radio sites go, as far as audio comedy sites go, ours is the best. Absolutely the best there is. And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Great to have you with us. Welcome aboard Columbia, South Carolina. And more to come, and to all of our listeners, to all of our advertisers, to all of our radio stations, to all of the courageous broadcasters that continue to carry an entertainment product that is also a talk show, which is like some kind of mental disease in the minds of some people. We thank you very, very much.
Yeah, you make fun of it, though.
Yeah, don't worry about it, okay, bud?
Well, I think a lot of people don't like the fact that you have lampooned the talk radio format viciously and violently, and I think a lot of practitioners of talk radio feel violated. Now, I'm not going to bring up, Phil,
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm not going to bring up the shop-worn and tarnished example of physical violation, jail sex, which you rely on a lot, and which...
Okay, I'm sorry, but...
Well, you say, okay, I'm sorry. But I will say, as long as you're bringing up...
Yeah, you're talking about being, fondled in the shower and stuff like that.
Yes, if you're talking about getting fondled in the shower, a lot of people that practice talk radio feel that that's what you're doing to the format. The format and those that practice talk radio are new fish in a holding area. And you're a big, greasy, white... Well, you go ahead and laugh.
What are you laughing at, man?
Why wouldn't I laugh at that?
A lot of people feel that if you use the example all the way through and don't laugh, talk radio and those that practice it are a young, fresh, pink-faced, blonde boy on the yard... And you're a big, greasy, ugly, fat, bull queer.
Bull queer.
You're getting in trouble for saying that.
No, because that's what they're called.
All right, let's just watch it, all right? So I'm some big guy that's going to jail rape, so, boy, I'll tell you, you guys...
No, not I listen to what people say. You're very disrespectful, Phil.
Well, you know what, Margaret? No, I'm not disrespectful. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I was just at the Talker Seminar. I had a great time. I talked to my colleagues. Everybody's on the same page with me, man. They get it. Out of bounds.
Well, okay. Thank you very much, Your Honor. Thank you for hearing me out.
I'm sorry. I got to move along. Do you mind?
I had some important things to say.
I got to move along. I got to move along. Do you mind?
Whatever.
Why don't you have another White Owl?
Don't tell me what to smoke. I'll have a Dutch Masters.
You know, those cigars that you're smoking are stinking this joint out, man. I don't know how else to say it.
Oh, they stink in the joint out. I happen to like them.
White Owl? Out of bounds, New York Jets fans couldn't stay classy following the team's shocking 30-27 victory overtime victory over bitter division rival New England Patriots yesterday. In a post-game hysteria at New Jersey's MetLife Stadium, one green jersey-clad Jets fan is captured on viral video punching a New England fan. Not news, you say? Well, this happens all the time among the Jets gang goon fans, you say? Well, it turns out the Patriot fan getting unceremoniously punched in the face was a woman. Yes, they've taken the mantle of football fans behaving badly to a new low in New York. Even the see-it-all New York Daily News was outraged, calling out what it called a cowardly Jets fan who took the term smash-mouth football too literally. See for yourself, I'm sure it's all over, and I should have had it up here and ready to rock and roll on Phil TV and HD, but we didn't get it ready. But there is, for all to see, I'm sure, on YouTube or elsewhere, this New York Jet fan punching out this female fan.
This is what you're calling... So this is what you're talking about when you say the outrageous behavior of adults.
Yes. This is exactly what I'm talking about. We have slobs. We have a new level of slob. Now, I'm not one to say this is anything new. What I am more prone to say is that we're now just seeing it. It's always been there. But we never heard about it because we don't have the rapid-fire, instantaneous communication that we have today. Not only do we have just the usual channels for news, but everybody is a news conveyor. Everyone is a platform for news. Anybody with a camera, anybody with a text. You can see something happen and have it up on the worldwide net within seconds, and people will see with their own eyes what it is you're talking about. So... with all of that instantaneous communication, of course we're getting over saturated with this stuff, and it's tiring our brains, and we just want to shut it all out, and we want to say that it's not real. But I will tell you this: as I mentioned before, we went into the news break or into the commercial break. There's a psychologist that I heard, and I think this bears analyzing. He said that we all have personas. Anonymity does not bring out the real person. Anonymity creates a new persona. In other words, I'm Phil on the radio. I'm Phil one way to my friends. I'm Phil... Will you take it easy, bud? Let me explain it.
Yeah, man, don't start going... You gotta explain it. What do you mean you're Phil? I know you're Phil.
Are you trying to be funny again?
Bud, you're not funny.
I'm not trying to be funny. Forget it.
Yeah, that's good. Cry. That's good for you.
Not crying.
Great. So I have, and we all have our personas. You're a person at work. You're not the same person with your wife as you are at work, although maybe you are. I don't know. You're not the same person with your kids as you are with your wife. You're not the same person with your friends as you are with your kids. You're not the same person with different situations. We have a different kind of face that we put on. This is very normal. These are called personas, and they've been known in the world of psychology for decades. Well, add a new one now. It's called the online anonymity persona that we have. A lot of people will say, well, the true person comes out. Well, no, the true person doesn't necessarily come out. A version of that person is coming out. It's oftentimes crude, violent, racist, sexist. But not everybody is a racist, sexist, violent person online just because they're anonymous. People want to be anonymous for a lot of different reasons, and they show a different kind of person to the online community. But when you are seeing these personas, okay, you are seeing folks just that, a persona and not the real person. It's an anonymity persona. How about that?
Well, it sounds pretty far out to me. I'd have to look into it.
Well, it ain't that far out, okay? All right, we're out of here. See you tomorrow night at 7 Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern. Great to be back on the radio tonight in just a few minutes. Night of the Living Dead. You got to refresh your browser, baby, to see it on Phil TV.
Going against Phil TV to see Night of the Dead.
Was it Night of the Living Dead?
Night of the Living Dead, yeah.
And don't forget to get health insurance.
Yeah, if you're watching Night of the Living Dead, that should remind you to get health insurance.
If you get zombied up. No.